A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I hear so many disparaging me, terror from every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him. All those who used to be my friends watch for my downfall. Perhaps he will be seduced into error. Then we will master him and take our revenge. But the Lord is at my side, a mighty hero. My opponents will stumble, mastered, confounded by their failure. Everlasting, unforgettable disgrace will be theirs. But you, Lord of hosts, you who probe with justice, who scrutinize the loins and hearts, let me see the vengeance you will take on them, for I have committed my cause to you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the souls of the needy from the hands of evil men. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In your great love, answer me, O God. In your great love, answer me, O God. It is for you that I suffer taunts, that shame covers my face, that I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's own sons. I burn with zeal for your house, and taunts against you fall on me. In your great love, answer me, O God. This is my prayer to you, my prayer for your favor. In your great love, answer me, O God, with your help that never fails. Lord, answer, for your love is kind. In your compassion, turn towards me. In your great love, seeking hearts will revive, for the Lord listens to the needy and does not spurn captives in their chains. Let the heavens and the earth give him praise, the sea and all its living creatures. In your great love, answer me, O God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. The gift considerably outweighed the fall. Sin entered the world through one man, and through sin, death. And thus, death has spread through the whole human race because everyone has sinned. Sin existed in the world long before the law was given. There was no law, and so no one could be accused of the sin of law-breaking, yet death reigned over all from Adam to Moses, even though their sin, unlike that of Adam, was not a matter of breaking a law. Adam prefigured the one to come, but the gift itself considerably outweighed the fall. If it is certain that through one man's fall, so many died, it is even more certain that divine grace coming through the one man, Jesus Christ, came to so many as an abundant free gift. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to your God.
Jesus instructed the 12 as follows. Do not be afraid, for everything that is now covered will be uncovered. Everything now hidden will be made clear. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the daylight. What you hear in whispers, proclaim from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Fear him rather. Fear him rather who can destroy the body and the soul in hell. Can you not buy two sparrows for a penny, and yet not one falls to the ground without your Father knowing? Why, every hair on your head has been counted. So there is no need to be afraid. You are worth more than a hundred of sparrows. So if anyone declares himself for me in the presence of man, I will declare myself for him in the presence of my Father in heaven. But the one who disowns me in the presence of men, I will disown in the presence of my Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Everyone, I think, here has at some point in their lives experienced fear, dread, because of your situation that you're placed in, because of the situation that is of no reason for you to be fear, but yet you do. And I suppose it's the adrenaline of fear that makes people react. But people react in different ways. Many days ago, we saw a Ukrainian fighter on television that was about to be killed by the Russians. And he stood there as if nothing was going to happen with a cigarette and looked at the people that were going to shoot him and said, "Glory to Ukraine." He didn't appear to have any fear, but I'm sure he must have. And what Jesus is telling his disciples and us is that don't be afraid, even in the face of death. My Father will look after you. God will be beside you. And he's counted every hair on your head. I've not got much left. So, why do we fear? I think fear is something that comes from not understanding what's happening. There are small things we fear, large things we fear. But Jesus continues to tell his disciples, "Yes, you will suffer for me, but speak out. Yes, you will fear and dread what might be going to happen to you, but you will come through it on the other side. So don't be afraid." I wasn't quite sure where to start with today's gospel. And it's very difficult to take away someone's fear sometimes. I do quite a lot of funerals. And the fear and dread of the person's family, the wife or the husband, of how they go on from where they are and face life without their lifelong partner, is extremely difficult. And while you try to reassure people that everyone will be fine, it's very difficult for them to understand at that point in their lives when they have to face the funeral of a loved one. It's even more difficult if the funeral is for a young person. But God continuously says, do not be afraid. Last sermon I did, I told a little story, and everyone said it gave me a picture. It gave me a picture of the reality, and I can carry the picture with me forward in my life. So I'm going to do the same this week. It comes from an American priest who was talking about his time at college when he was just coming to finish. And it also shows his fear. Red-faced, I stood in the light of the arched entryway as the surging blue strobe lights of the campus police alerted me to my wrongdoing. I could only throw myself on the mercy of the officer, and I could only throw myself on the mercy of anyone who will believe my story. I'd purposely waited till after dark to return my books to the library. And as I went through the archway into the porch where the door was, or should I say, the returning book depository, because I realized that it was coming up to the end of the loan period. In fact, it was past the loan period. And the date clearly stamped in the book. And I was fearful, not of returning the book, but of facing Alice, the ogre that was behind the desk when you returned books. Because she knew my name, and I was fearful of her. So I thought, I will wait till the day when, at the end of every term, you can return your books, even if they're overdue, without charge. So I had a plan. And the plan was to go back at the night and stick them through the letterbox for the book depository. But to my horror, when I got there, the depository entrance where you place the books had regurgitated loads of them. But I had another plan then, and I thought what I would do is remove all the books that were in the depository and then put my books in. And then Alice wouldn't believe that I'd returned them late, because there was other people leaving books on the steps. So I got in before them. However, when I got to the last two books I had to remove, my arm got stuck. And I couldn't get it out. My plan had failed. And as the security guard came up, he opened the door and removed the two books that had stopped me retrieving my arm. Then he locked the doors again and walked past me and said, have a good evening. My legs were still trembling, but I'd survived the wrath of Alice. I'd survived the security man, and I'd managed to return my books without a fine. You may think that's not true, but it actually shows how very small things can create fear in an individual when they were frightened they were going to get caught out. Jesus says, don't fear anything, even Alice. But be proud of what you know and what you believe is true. And God will look after you. Even in the most difficult times of having secretly to return overdue books. Don't worry about it. So that means for us, no matter how small or how big your fear is, face it. Face it with hope and hopefully God's mercy, so that when you do have to return anything that's overdue, He will be beside you to protect you.